Real quick before I start the episode, I'm looking for 4 people who want to lose 20 plus pounds of unwanted fat, that they've been struggling to get that off and that are looking to get to the next level with their fitness, their health, and their happiness. So if you have 20 plus pounds of fat to lose and you're ready to make change once and for all, please be sure to reach out to me on Instagram and message me the keyword fat loss to @ColossusFit. ColossusFit is my Instagram. And I can guarantee you that through my one-on-one coaching, accountability, high-level systems, we will take off that 20 pounds of fat and get you to your next level. So I got 4 spots available. Be sure to send me that message on Instagram. Once again, you can find the info in the description down below. But now into our incredible episode.
Hello there. My name is Kyle, and I am the host and coach of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast here with
Sir Joshua Wilkinson, the 15th gentleman. Kyle was very formal, so that's my formal notation for today's episode.
I felt like I had to switch it up, you know, instead of the people are going to be missing in the house. We will get a message there, but I just want to start off and say we are happy to have you here, switching things up, throwing you for a curveball, and hopefully you're having an amazing start to this Monday or whatever day it is that you're listening to this.
Yeah, and we've changed the format of Motivation Monday just to get into the meat of a question while we're fired up, coming off that intro high. As you know, we got all the good stuff coming right after. But our primary question for today is, love your podcast, and I've been an avid gym goer for 6 months now. I also just want to start by saying I check every single comment that's made on the Spotify. I see all the DMs you guys send, which is just absolutely amazing, the love we get there, the questions. So you can reach out to me and Kyle very easily. Best way to do that is follow me on Instagram, DM me, or drop comments on the Spotify. Apple, I think, is launching something soon with comments. I'm excited to see how it evolves. And then YouTube too. We really appreciate everyone who comments there. It really does mean a lot. I try to stay away from the YouTube comments, as I've learned from my main fitness channel. YouTube's a spicy place and people can get a little funny, but it's awesome to see how positive everyone is on the podcast side of things. But it really does mean a lot when you let us know you like the podcast, the change, the incredible stories we hear. It really inspires us, and we've really received some moving messages lately about how this podcast has helped people in their lives, how it's helped them overcome big barriers, how it's helped them drop tons of weight, tons of change. So once again, let us know if we've helped you. We'd love to connect with you. There's lots of great ways to do that. But anyways, back to our primary question. So the question is, how can I improve my grip strength? I feel I have more in me when lifting, lots of ability in my muscles, but it's my grip strength that gives out first and foremost. What do you do to avoid this? So once again, this individual has only been in the gym for 6 months. And this is something I find that is very common. When you go from being untrained to trained, you're gonna get strong really quick. You got massive muscle groups that you can work on, in particular, the back movements, pull movements in general. People get quite strong wrong with these, and your back is crazy, crazy strong. That's why you can do super heavy rows, you can do crazy heavy shrugs, all these amazing things. But when you look at your little forearms, I'm not saying you have tiny forearms or anything like that, but the size of the muscle, it's not going to quite compare. And it's very common for your larger muscle groups to outgrow your grip strength early on. Now, I've seen a lot of people really pushing around the use of straps and the benefits of straps, and immediately there will be a huge benefit, because by using straps, you're going to be able to lift more weight, you're going to be able to target those muscles. But I see this as a bit of a trade-off, because you're fixing a long-term problem with a short-term solution. And I guess you could just wear straps permanently, but what I actually encourage my clients to do is really build out their grip strength as this happens. And if you do notice that this is directly holding you back, similar to anything else, I think it's a fantastic opportunity to really focus and address on improving that primarily. So often what I'll prescribe if this is an issue is I'll say, listen, I know it's hard, avoid using the wraps, just focus on working the muscle. And I'll usually program in some more things like farmer's walk, I think is a fantastic way to do it. If you do struggle on any of your pull or upper days, you can just add 3 heavy sets of farmer's walk, and you will find your forms will adapt relatively quickly. And it is an amazing feeling too, when you're like, yeah, I have really good grip strength, I can really hold on. And like I said, that is something that will improve with time. And if you're doing too many power movements where grip is truly a hindrance, that is another thing you might want to look at, like the intelligence of your programming, because if there's too many things where your grip is just getting absolutely tanked. So like if, for instance, I'm doing like walking lunges, and then I'm doing like heavy rows, and I'm doing heavy deadlifts, and I'm doing heavy barbell rows. Like these are all things that are super like conducive of me having a really great grip, and you're going to nuke it if you just do all those things. And that's where a routine really needs to have ebbs and flows. But in particular, I do really encourage patience for grip strength. And I know it can be hard in the moment, and sometimes you do got to take a break and let your grip kind of improve, but it is something that will naturally get better the more you challenge it. Adding those farmer's walks, adding dead hangs where you just hang on even one set at the end of your workout, these actually will bring it up really quick. And I can assure you it's a lot nicer not needing straps or anything like that. And this is how I've had a lot of success with my clients. I'll change their programming around sometimes to really work on this, but I do find this is a better long-term solution, and having really great grip strength is just an amazing attribute. So that's my solution. Curious what Kyle has.
Yeah, I think those were absolutely great tips. And I think the thing that really stood out to me, and I think what I would say to a lot of my clients, and it's actually helped them, but also myself, is just really consistently showing up. And just the more that you do those back movements and kind of have that bit of a struggle where it's like, it's holding you back for a little bit, but then you just like reach a certain point where you honestly become unstoppable. So, you know, even myself, I love the fact that if I were to show up and just forget my gym bag, like everything is totally fine. And I think I've spent a lot of time to get to that point. Like I remember even for a small example, I used to go into the gym and always need those wrist wraps for my wrists. And then there was a point where Josh was like, you don't need those. And I fixed my bench press form. I made sure to straighten my hands. You know, if you're watching on YouTube, like a straight line from my hand all the way down to my elbow. So there's no like, no wrist bending. And anyway, so I kind of fixed my form and I'm like, man, I don't need anything. Like I'm totally fine and nothing wrong with needing something. But when you just simply rely on it, and I feel like a lot of people are that way with straps because they just jump to it too early. Like they're like 3 months into the journey, they see someone using it, some strong person in the gym recommends it, and then that's all they know. Whereas if you give yourself the ability to keep building up that natural grip strength and, you know, your hands just become like unstoppable, there's just no better feeling, because I can personally feel that way no matter what. If I need to hold on to something, I feel very, very good about that. But that's because I never went that route of just like jumping into a shorter term fix like Josh was mentioning. But I think those exercises he mentioned was fantastic. And, you know, even for myself for deadlifts, it's once again, it's a really good feeling to be able to comfortably be able to go over 400 pounds, double overhand, and just be like in a very solid position. Whereas a lot of people don't allow themselves to get to that point. Obviously we have used chalk over the years in powerlifting gyms, but I know a lot of gyms are very kind of against it. So it, once again, it's nice to not have to rely on that if I didn't have chalk, which I don't even use anymore. And then the other thing is even for deadlifts, so I'll always do double overhand for like all of my warm-up sets. And then when I am doing my working weight, I'll do more of like a neutral grip. So one underhand and one overhand. And once again, it's not exactly being reliant on something like that, but allowing yourself for all the warm-ups to do double overhand. Anyway, so it'd be kind of hard to explain without the visuals, but the long story short is just really taking that time to just keep getting better and better and being patient with it. And even if it is a bit of a struggle, just know that the more you continuously do back movements and then the dead hangs and farmer's walks and just regular deadlifts, like Josh mentioned, you're just going to become unstoppable.
Yeah, that's most often an issue when you're newer anyways, and you have that really uneven amount of growth. But for me, like I love that I bulletproof my grip. Like it's pretty crazy. Like I can hold on to like a 45-pound plate with like one finger, like little random things like that. Not that these necessary things you want to do, because you don't want to drop a weight on your toe, but I do find it's better to build that out and not just sell yourself short from it. And there is an argument both ways. A lot of people could say, okay, well, I'm fine with my forearms being weaker and being less involved if it means I get more engagement on my back. I can understand that argument. And if you're totally cool wearing them every time, you don't mind, you don't care, you're down to use wraps for every movement, I mean, you do you. These are where you got to pick your own battles as well. But I personally see more benefit, and I have even from clients, they're like, hey, thank you for challenging me with this. Some people still really do love using the wraps and they'll feel more engagement. And that's where there never is a direct answer, but we also want to let you in a little bit more on the thoughts. On the back end as well, people say, I can never hold on for deadlifts, like for whatever reason. You'd be like, okay, that's weird. Why? And then you see like videos of the bars they're using, and some bars have been at gyms for like 8 years and there's no knurling left. So that's like the grip. So you're basically grabbing like a buttery metal that has nothing to hold on to, and that's just going to slip out of your hands. There's been gyms I've went to and I'm like, I can hardly deadlift at all because that bar is just so hard to hold on to. Some bars will be thinner versus thicker, and It's a little bit more of an advanced tip, but as you kind of learn what barbells are better, what makes sense, obviously squatting with a bar with center knurling will be better because it's going to grip on your back nicer than one without, but you don't always have the ability to really pick the bars you want to use at gyms. But if it's something to be mindful of, some gyms do have better bars available for certain movements, and it is always an advantage to take care of them. The more knurling, the more grip a deadlift bar has, the better. It's going to help you hold on. It's going to make it easier. Whereas when it has less, it's going to make it a lot harder, and you may absolutely need straps to use it. But I actually used to use straps, and I stopped using them because I didn't like that it was like a crutch for me. So that was a really excellent question. We really hope that helped answer. And now that we got our primary question done, we're going to jump into our thoughts alongside our client shout out, and most importantly, our quotes. So I'm really curious to hear what Kyle's quote is, so we'll let him kick it off this week.
My quote is probably in the top three of my favorite ones that I've just always said and always believed. And this was something I used to say over and over, like when I first got into quotes, which was like maybe 10 years ago. It is simple, but it is powerful. Don't stop when you're tired, stop when you're done. So I just think a lot of times we can stop a little bit too short, a little bit too early, maybe the point where we still have a little bit more progress that can be made. And similar to every single quote and pretty much everything we say, I feel like we can relate it to a ton of different things. But, you know, let's say you're going through a diet phase, like, are you going to stop when you're tired, when you're kind of a little bit fatigued and maybe feeling like, I want to get out of it? Or are you going to stop when you're done, right? Similar to workouts, similar to just really anything, of course, fitness related. I can see that that is something that is a big setback. Even myself, when I used to do a lot of running, it's like, are you going to stop when the program, like this is what the program calls for, this is what you should be doing? Or are you going to stop when you feel a little bit fatigued and you kind of have your mindset trying to get you to stop and just completely give in? Or are you going to stop when the workout's complete, when the run's complete, whatever it is? So just something to think about. Obviously, I do have to add in here, it is always great to listen to your body, but I do find for most people, it's usually the mind that really does try to get you to stop before you're done. Even let's say you're in the gym, you know, you have an amazing workout plan. There will be sometimes a point where you want to stop. You're just like, I'm tired. I got to get out of here. I got to rush out and whatnot. But I do believe that when you have the mindset of always just stopping when you're done and when the mission's complete and the task is complete, you become a different version of yourself and you become absolutely unstoppable.
Yeah, I love that quote because it just really motivates you to keep going. And I think seeing things through is amazing. We've all had those moments where we want to stop, we want to turn back, we need a break. And just seeing that through, finishing that, and really, that's a good quote just to keep in the back of your mind, to keep you fired up, just to really stay focused in general. And that has always been one of my favorites. Don't stop when you're tired, stop when you're done. And for my quote, a little bit more of a thoughtful one in that sense, a little different, but this is something that I've really been just having on the top of my mind, and that is, what we fear doing the most is most often what we need to do. So once again, what we fear doing the most is usually what we most need to do. And you could take this 100 different ways, but for me personally, what I feel like this really means, and I was listening to a book too, and he was saying, like, what are some of the bad habits you're keeping costing you in your life? And there could be countless examples of this. It could be something like you're holding on to. It's like, oh, but I need to have a slice of cake every night. Like, that's what makes me happy. And it's like, okay, but you're having that much sugar, that many extra junk calories every single night. Or whenever I meet with my friends, we need to go to this buffet. Or it could even be, I can't meet up with my friends without drinking, or I can't give up drinking. Or if I go to the gym 5 times a week, it'll be hard. If I start training harder, it'll be hard. So these things, often I think most of us know what we need to do. It gets in our mind, we'll fear doing it. It can be a little bit hard, and it can be hard to get rid of these things. But I think even saying, like, what's that thing I'm scared of doing? What's that challenge in front of me that I can face head on? And when you do that, I think on the other side of that is amazing. Like, even as you push into a point of more challenge in your life, instead of being scared of it and pushing it away and saying, this is going to be too hard, it's going to be insurmountable, saying, how can I face it head on? How can I get better? How can I take one step in front of the other? That example of, how do you eat an elephant? One step at a time. So just taking this thought, this abstract thought, and applying it to whatever's going on in your life is going to be immensely powerful. And that's something I wanted to leave you with today.
Yeah, kind of similar to the most recent things that I've been talking about. I sent to our email list the other day. I was just like, honestly, when I have that little weird feeling in my stomach, and that's how you know it's a good thing for you. So kind of look for those challenges, those things that scare you, those things that are a bit of uncomfortable. And I can assure you that those are the things that will move you in the right direction versus just doing what's, you know, what's what makes you feel right. You know what I mean? It should be something that pushes you, is all I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. And as we go into our thoughts and just what has us excited or intrigued this week, I heard another little quote or tidbit that I liked, and it was the concept of somehow sometimes drinking, you can be borrowing happiness from tomorrow, for today with alcohol. So sometimes you're already in a bad mood. You go out, you're like, oh, it's going to make me feel better. And I don't think this is exclusive to alcohol. It's the same with junk food. In that moment, we think, oh, it's going to feel amazing eating this massive thing and that I know I shouldn't. And then you feel spilt over after, you have a worse sleep, your digestion's all messed up. The next day you feel lethargic and weak. And even this concept of alcohol is funny. Like Tim Ferriss, he's one of the original podcasters. He was saying when he's in a bad mood, even if he's out with friends, he'll never drink because he knows he's just going to take away from that next day even more. And one thing that's really been on my mind is like, how can I live today to make myself today and tomorrow happy? So in those moments where you think, I'd rather sit around all day, not work, not go to the gym, eat garbage, you're going to feel worse. You're going to have no money. You're going to maybe lose your job. You're going to do all these negative things. It's not worth it. And sometimes it's hard to even get started or do that first thing. But I just thought this was a really cool concept, and it's something I had on my mind for sure.
Absolutely. And something that was just kind of sticking with me was we just had our coaches meeting, and Jason was showing out one of his awesome clients and mentioning that, you know, he is been crushing it, right? And there can sometimes be people around him that aren't exactly as positive. And it's kind of crazy, like the thought process of someone wanting to be better and then others around them maybe having negative things such as, you're too old to do this, or, you know, are you sure you want to spend so much time? Like, we will always get those people. I feel like no matter what, even if you build your circle up, which is something I really, really recommend, there will still be coworkers, there will still be family members. Even speaking to my sister, who's 30 pounds down in our program, like even her, there's still, you know, those around her just kind of making comments like, are you like, you're done? Like, aren't you happy? Like, maybe you should, whatever, like just these things kind of pushing her to not be the best version of herself. And I just think it's kind of wild. The main message I want to get across here is when you are on this fitness journey, of course, so two things: do the best you can to fill your circle up with people who want the best for you, who want to uplift you, and who will encourage you. Obviously, our Facebook community is a great place to be because we have so many people who understand each other and who are on the same page. Obviously, all of us coaches, like, we are here for you and we're all cheering for you. But obviously, you can only do so much with that. And the other thing is just really trying to ignore the noise, especially because, once again, there will be so many people, just, they may not even mean to. Obviously, you have to kind of see where they're coming from, but it could be a family member, spouse, a friend or whatever it is, that just not on purpose, they're just trying to bring you down. Maybe they're jealous of your success, but also maybe they just don't understand. And that's okay. Just, you don't have to get rid of them, but just try to push away what they're trying to say and just focus on all the good that you're doing. Consistently show up for yourself. Like, just make your own self proud is what I'm trying to get at, because there will be those people. And I think it's so important, because I know a lot of people who will let that get to them and then just give up and then just stop. And then there's no point. It's just not worth it. So that's one of my random thoughts for today for sure.
Yeah, I think too, it's important you know what your goals are and why they matter to you and whether people support them or not. Another thing I heard that was absolutely crazy to me was there was this experiment where they had monkeys climb this pole and there was bananas at the top of the pole. But anytime they get close to the bananas, they'd spray them with water and they'd all fall down. So that whenever they try it, they'd get sprayed with water and fall down. And then they brought a new monkey in and he's like, oh, sick bananas. And he climbed the pole, they'd spray him with water. They wouldn't spray him with water, but the other monkeys were pulling him down. They were stopping him. They're like, don't do that, whatever. And then eventually it got to the point where all the monkeys were replaced. None of them had been sprayed by the water ever, but they pulled each other down. And I think this is a good analogy to life, because unfortunately, as people are, there's more of a culture of don't take it too hard, don't push yourself, you don't need to do this, like, love yourself how you are. And there's a lot of truth in a lot of these things. Like, it is important, you should always be proud of who you are, you should always do these different things. But I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to be better, knowing what you're capable of, wanting to push yourself, wanting to live a healthier, happier life, especially when you're inspired to do so, and especially when you have great reasons to do it. And I think other people will say, whoa, what are you doing? You're not having cake tonight? Like, that's not healthy, don't do that. It's pretty crazy how when you start to shift to doing that, or maybe go to the gym, three times a week, and they're like, you're never around, you're always in the gym. You're like, this is 4% of my day. I'm there for an hour. Like, it's really not that grand of a thing, but it is unfortunate that I do find there's two sides where people either really understand they live that life or they don't. So once again, don't be deterred by other people pulling you down, telling you can't do something. Like, you got to really just, it is hard. It can be tough when people are against that way of living. But I also think as you show them, hey, like, these bananas are fine, you can get them, it's not that hard, they might say, okay, how can I start getting fit? What health style changes can I make? And I think being that example can be really powerful.
Yeah. And once again, like, just some people just won't understand. And as Josh was speaking, I was just thinking back when I was doing my first physique competition years ago. I remember my grandma was just saying I looked like kind of sick. Like, I just was so skinny. Like, she would just see my face. And like, once again, those are things that can kind of turn someone off, right? And just be like, oh, well, I'm not doing this now because people are saying things. I just remember, like, I would get quite a few comments, but you really have to stay so true to what you're doing and what's important to you. Because yeah, once again, it's a lot of times not out of hate, depending on the person, but it's more so just not understanding. And especially, I do find family specifically and coworkers are like kind of the biggest culprits for that. And I have to really encourage my clients as well. Like, so we do video check-ins each week, and very often they'll say something about some sort of comment that they got. And that's where having a coach is obviously super helpful, because I'll be there and I'll be able to understand and relate. And same with every one of our coaches, which is super important to have that encouragement, especially during those tougher times where you might not be in the right headspace. And anyway, so I just really wanted to pop off on that because it is very, very important. And yeah, that's all I have for my top thoughts for today.
Yeah, my last thought is the concept that no one accidentally hits their protein goals. When I saw that, I was like, wow, this is accurate. So if you're struggling with protein, make sure you subscribe to our podcast. You're aware when it comes out. We're out every Monday and Thursday at 1 a.m. Eastern, so you can wake up to it. But on Thursday, we're doing an episode about how to hit your goals, even when you're on a limited budget of calories, your protein goals, that is. So we're going to totally take care of that there. That's going to be an incredible episode. It's going to be an in-depth episode, so be sure to not miss out on that one.
And now I just quickly wanted to talk about the client that we are shouting out today, which is Jasmine. And we are so happy. She is 55 pounds down, working with awesome coach Armando. You can see, if you're watching on YouTube, her transformation, some of her tips. And we're just honestly so proud of how far she's come. Like, once again, I love the transformations that are in the 15 pound range, 10 pound, 20 pound, but Jasmine is completely changing for the better. And it's just, once again, absolutely phenomenal to see, because she's not stopping now. She's continuing to show up. Her recipe for success has just been like, just consistently showing up with Coach Armando, asking questions, being engaged, having a custom program, and it's just going to keep getting better and better from here. So if you're someone who just wants to lose weight, obviously today our promo is with regards to weight loss. If you're looking to lose at least 20 pounds and specifically fat loss as well, all you have to do is send us a message with the keyword fat loss. So make sure to do that to our Instagram, Colossus Fit, ColossusFit. And now let's keep going.
Now we're going to jump into our second question for today, which is, should I work out if I am sick? So this is a hard one to give a general answer because I'm not a doctor, but I do have my rule of thumbs personally and what I recommend my clients. So there's a lot of considerations here. If you have your home gym at home, it can become a very personal decision because you're not putting anyone else in jeopardy. It's your space. You can do what you want. Obviously, bring a sickness to the gym. If you do, you want to be considerate. You want to make sure you're washing your hands, wiping your machines, really keeping your distance from people and not ruining it for anyone else. And a good rule of thumb too, like, even myself, I've been getting a lot less sick now that after my workouts, I give my hands a really good wash. And I find that has made a big difference because you are just sharing equipment that hundreds of people are using. And obviously getting some exposure can be good. It can have its benefits, but you do definitely want to limit getting sick unnecessarily. So just a couple disclaimers there. But my general rule of thumb is if it's above the neckline, it's okay to go. So if you have a light runny nose, a very small cold, obviously in a perfect world, you could avoid the workout and come back. But these things can linger for weeks or weeks and weeks on end. It can be really annoying, and like, the chance of contagion is low. If you're washing your hands, wiping your machines, it's not a big deal. And it's not going to kill you to be in there too much. Just make sure you're drinking lots of water, you're hydrating, you're doing a lot of things that are really good for that. Whereas if it's below the neck, you're coughing up mucus, you're getting diarrhea, you have like like shakes in your body, you feel really weak, definitely don't be a hero. Going to the gym is just going to make you more sick. It's going to put you more out. You're going to really risk other people, especially if it's a more serious sickness. So in those times, what I really like to enforce is like, how can you rest and heal and put yourself in the best position possible? And that's your body saying, hey, slow down, give me some time to heal. Your new job isn't working out. It's resting, it's recovering, it's eating really good food, optimizing for a lot of protein, eating healthy and getting the liquids you can in so you can heal nice and fast. And that's where you should focus your energy and understand, yes, you may be out of the gym, but you're gonna be really dehydrated and you're not gonna be in a position where you can do it. So I do find personally that is the best consideration. And if you are at that place and like you're just pretty toast, but you feel okay-ish, I personally, when I'm sick, try to walk whenever I can. I'm not running, I'm not jogging, I'm not doing anything crazy, but getting out doing a really light walk has been proven to be an incredible immune system builder. Sometimes you're just way too sick, you're gonna get zero steps and you're gonna be drinking Gatorade all day and you're gonna be sick and it sucks. It puts you back from your goals, it's no fun. I've seen a meme where it's like you've been making gains for 2 months, nothing can stop you, and then you get a cold and like it is a crappy feeling, it sucks, but it's a reality that happens. And just know it's not absolute. When you're sick, you feel weak, you feel tired, doesn't feel good, you feel like you're never gonna be able to train again, maybe go back to the gym, everything feels heavy. The body is so adaptable, and I promise you, if you look back in your last 5 years, there's probably been a time where you're like, I'm so sick, I'm gonna die, this is brutal, I hate this. And then now you're like, oh yeah, that was a while ago, that sucked, whatever, but now I'm training hard, I've hit these PRs, I made these gains. So I find having this mindset is kind of the key, and that's definitely how I adapt it. And yeah, curious what Kyle has.
Yeah, I've probably had one of those moments, but I'd say for the most part, it's usually been like just the small little things I have found. And maybe some of you have noticed, like in the past, let's say 6 months, I've just been a little more congested than usual. And I have no idea why, but it's something you kind of just get through. It doesn't really bother me or anything. But I like what Josh said there in terms of all the tips. And it's kind of tough. And obviously when you're going through a little bit of sickness, whatever it is, like it's hard because you're not feeling your best, your energy's low. But I do try to remind myself that during two important things, when you're going through something really, really stressful, like even just maybe a loss or whatever it is, or when you're feeling really, really down and you're sick, that fitness and health can often be one of the greatest things for you in that time frame. So once again, relating it to this whole sickness, it's hard in the moment to remember this, but knowing that drinking as much water as physically possible, still moving your body, even just making sure to hit your protein, like you may not really have the energy and feel like it, but anytime I have gone through some sickness and I'm like, okay, I need to make sure to get my fluids in, I need to get some movement in or else I'm going to feel even worse. Like it, once again, sometimes I do have to push myself and it is really tough. And if it is a sickness where you literally can't move and it's just like throwing up, all that other stuff, you might want to ignore this, but I'd say for the most part, and especially from talking to clients who will often say, hey, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, and then we'll kind of have that discussion and they always feel so much better from like doing the healthier thing, even if they have to kind of force themselves or push themselves, it usually does work out. So once again, it depends on the sickness, but I'd say for the most part, when you're like in that, like, hey, it's not brutal, but it's also not like I'm not 100% range, these tips and being healthy and whatnot is always super important.
Awesome. Now into our final question for today, and that is, how important is heart rate? Should I be focusing on heart rate zones? So there's a lot of buzz around heart rate right now, heart rate zones, heart rate variability, all these different things. I think heart rate has its place. I like knowing my resting heart rate. Knowing your max heart rate can have some benefits as well, and kind of knowing what ranges feel best for you. I like the data in that sense, so I use it more reactively than I do proactively. So I'm not actively ever trying to trade in a zone or get my heart rate to a certain point or get it up to a certain point, anything along that. I find most of the myths really come around like the fat burning zone. Like people will really lean into, I need to be doing this. And a big misnomer all the time when people work with me and Kyle, they'll say, man, you guys don't work out hard. What the heck? Like you're taking breaks for like 2 minutes. What are you doing? And I'm like, yeah. And then people always will say, how many calories have you burned? And they'll show me their watch and it'll be like a quarter of what I've done. I'm like, you need to be intentional for that set. If you're doing a hard set to near failure, it's going to exhaust you. Your heart rate's going to shoot up. When I'm squatting, my heart rate goes 170, 180. It gets really jacked up there. And I don't need to be doing jumping jacks in between, doing 50 motions half-heartedly. You're going to get so much less from training like that. And just training with intention, focus, intensity. It's the same reason I'm sure an Olympian who sprints and they're just doing 100 meter, they're going to kill themselves in that 100 meter. They're going to work way harder probably from that one sprint than I will over like 30 minutes of lifting. And that's where intensity plays its role. And if like you're looking at your watch to find this data, like in my opinion, you're really messing out. And I know it's trendy with all this Orange Theory, different zones, all these different things, but I would just use it as a data point to compare. It's like, hey, what's my resting heart rate? How do my workouts look? Have I actually been pushing myself in my workout? Apple Watch, when you go into like the activity app, will actually show kind of the range of where your workout is, how your recovery is. Once again, it doesn't really impact anything in my training. The two exceptions to that, I generally try to see my heart rate go below 115, 120 to do another set. Like to me, it's an easy way of saying, okay, I'm pretty rested. The problem is your heart rate is also responsive. So even for things where your heart rate's high, if you're using a watch or something that isn't ultra, ultra precise in the moment to the millisecond, sometimes you'll look at it and be like, oh, I'm good. And then I'll stand up and it will raise 30 beats per minute or whatever. And like, it's hard to utilize that data. So instead I'll sometimes look at it and I'll be like, okay, it's below 115. I'm chill. I'm good. I feel rested. Let's get another one. But once again, you can work without that. The second thing I'll say is there's a lot of love for like zone two cardio right now, because that's a range where yes, you'll be going a little bit more intense. So to the point of where am I going to burn the most calories? What's the fat burning range? The appeal to that to me, obviously you'll burn the most by maxing out your heart rate, but it's going to be hard. It's going to kill you. It's going to be really hard to recover. That's where you're going to get the most. Like you can only sprint for so long, whereas you can walk almost infinitely. Not quite, but you get my point. You go to a jog, you can do that somewhere in the middle. So that's where you need to find what works for you. And that's the whole list versus hit debate. And that's where like, I wouldn't get too into this data. I think people that really nerd out with the heart rate data too much are kind of missing the point, because I could just give you best practices and say, listen, train hard, train to a 9 out of 10 intensity, rest until you feel recovered and you're able to do it at the same intensity. When you want to do your cardio, do you have more time? Do it in a reasonable amount for you. The whole zone two thing is generally that you can talk while you do it. And that's kind of like a good point to be. But once again, there's just so many considerations within this. So I get this question a lot, and I really want to just highlight a few things about it. So that's my response.
I do think it's really important. We get a lot of questions, and I find that sometimes it's from people who aren't exactly kind of paying attention to the biggest movers, like obviously nutrition for someone who's looking to lose fat and, you know, just become healthier. Like I do find that it is very easy to focus on other things. So that's kind of just one thing I want to mention, is like really paying attention to the biggest movers, especially for those just looking to develop their physique. But I'm just finished up an ebook that is going to be coming out. I'm just looking for a designer, and I actually had this copied into there in terms of the cardio side of things. And it's something I came across, which I thought was a pretty good way of looking at cardiovascular exercise. It said, in terms of cardio exercise, you should aim for at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic activity. So even a walk could be great for that. Or 75 minutes of vigorous intensity aerobic activity per week, in line with recommendations from organizations like the American Heart Association. So what they had said was 150 minutes of moderate intensity or 75 minutes of vigorous intensity aerobic activity per week. So just something to think about. I mean, once again, there's so many ways to approach it. I do feel like just as long as you are, you know, in some ways like getting your heart rate up. For me, you know, we're going to be getting back into mountain biking, and that was like one of the best things for us. I find that it's enough where you have to like slow down and be like, holy, like this is hard. But it's also just like, you're not, you know, fully out of breath where you can't talk and it's just like too much. And then it's going to affect other things as well. And that's where some things do get challenging, is even those really obsessed with doing like crazy intense cardio stuff, then they're like, their strength training workouts are affected. And then they all have to work together, which is super important. But I like all of Josh's tips. Hopefully that helped. And yeah, that's all I have to say for that question there.
Yeah. So thanks so much for tuning in with us today. A lot of knowledge in here. Go out, apply it. If you're looking to lose fat once and for all, and you've tried, you've struggled, you failed, let us take care of it for you. Absolutely guaranteed. We got 4 spots available for our fat loss promotion. All you got to do is message us the keyword. We'll know why you're messaging us, and then we will get you there to lose that fat. So once again, message us fat loss on Instagram to @ColossusFit, ColossusFit. Thanks for tuning in. Peace out.